Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 193, part 2, Unless the Lord Builds, We Labor in Vain. Today just happens to be Mother's Day, Sunday, May 8th, 2011. I know my mother didn't labor in vain.
I like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz. That's it.
Thank you, Pearl, for that introductory prayer. Higher purpose, higher purpose, higher purpose. Keep our focus, keep our focus. Yeah. I am your hostess with the mostest, your web madam, your chief marketing technologist, all rolled into one female body of work. Located in North Minneapolis in the month of May, the season of spring. Thank you, God, for spring. Thank you for budding trees, green grass, little Johnny jump-ups, spring flowers. Thank you, thank you, thank you. How many know after winter, spring is God's best blessing? And then comes my birthday, May 21st. You can know the date. Have you seen the posters? Yep. You can know the date, the Lord's return. Well, according to the Bible, nobody knows the date, even the Lord, except for the Father. But let's say that would be the best, the very, very, very best birthday present I could get would be the Lord's return, May 21st, 2011, at 58 years. It's all over, and away we go. Hallelujah. Okay, so things are going much better. Last month, I had the Mean Reds, and if anybody were to listen and watch Breakfast at Tiffany's, which is one of my absolutely favorite movies, you will know that the Mean Reds are worse than the Blues. The Mean Reds were caused by a computer meltdown, but we're all over that now. We still haven't found editing software, which we'll need to do. We're just kind of inching our way back. It's kind of like being thrown from a horse. You know, you just kind of, yeah, you kind of pat them on the head and, you know, sit in the saddle. You keep it kind of tied up at the fence. That's where we're at with the computer right now. We're just kind of getting to know one another again. Anyways, that's a whole nother issue. But I am happy to be here. I'm so happy. God, thank you. I'm so happy for spring. And you know, one of the things I really miss in Minnesota in the winter? The birds chirping. In fact, I actually had a bird chirping clock that for each hour it would chirp a different bird, and it broke. So this winter I was beside myself because I didn't even have my bird chirping clock. So just a hint. A hint if the Mercedes, the night on the town, and all this other doesn't pan out for me. A chirping bird clock. That's what we're looking for. So enough of all of this. Let's get to the business at hand. That's right. It's Pastor Paul's podcast, isn't it? Okay, here we go. These are the messages for the month of May. Unless the Lord builds, we labor in vain, which is a Mother's Day message, and I thought was kind of clever, isn't it? Timing. We labor in vain. So there you go, mothers out there. Your children. Ooh, I know some of you may think that you labored in vain. I know my mother would never think that, but some mothers may think that. Rejoicing and mourning, our privilege. The natural mind hates God. That I know is true. Yeah, it just stands to reason. It's true. Doubting. A doubting Thomas. Okay? So there we have it, the four messages in the month of May, the month of the Lord's return. So if he does come back May 21st on my birthday, that means the last message we're not going to hear, which is doubting. And we won't have to doubt because we won't be around. So that'll take care of that. Be sure to listen both Friday for part one and on Sunday is always part two. Now, I hope that you are subscribing so that the message is sent to your phone and you can listen when you're stuck in traffic. You can also send the messages to someone who you feel would get as much out of these messages as you are. And I know if you are listening, you are getting a lot out of these messages because I know I did. And I still listen to every message. And by the way, I do live tweets on Thursday. So when I'm recording Pastor Paul's message from the cassette into the digital format, being the chief marketing technologist that I am, I understand these terms, digital. When I record these and put them in the digital MP3 format and load them on our server, you can just take these messages and redistribute them. Oh yeah, getting back to Thursday. Thursday is what I call live tweets inside. When I'm recording and something just clicks, you know, it clicks, I'll do a live tweet about what that is that clicks. And then what I do with the live tweets, because one time I went to Twitter and I looked and I didn't find my tweets and some of them were missing and maybe they had fail whale and, you know, the big fish. See, it makes sense. They have the fail whale, the big fish, which is what happened to me last month. Yeah, so it's the computer fish, okay? Anyways, so what I do is I do the live tweets and then I post them on the blog in order. So it's like, you know, I'm doing a post, which I've never have been able to quite get to that yet to do other posts. So I do a live tweets inside post. Now, I think what would be really cool is if people use the live tweets inside hash tag. I better say tag when I say hash, you know, hashtag. What I think would be really cool would be is if when you're listening to the message and you're like getting something out of it and you feel like a real click, like you need to tweet about it, you can do a live tweets inside and then use the hashtag. These are technology terms. I can go look live tweets inside hashtag. Hey, doubting Thomas, he clicked with, a higher purpose. There you go. We're on the same page. That's not a technology. That's just kind of an old school term. Anyways, enough. By the way, you also can, when you're listening to this, I can only do one of these intros in the very beginning of the month. It's very difficult for me to do this intro. So it's very difficult. So I'm trying different formats. This one is really, it's longer, like 9 minutes we have right now. So we're like 10 minutes into this. Feel free to just fast forward, which I'm sure that you do anyways. Do not fast forward during Pastor Paul's messages. You don't want to miss one single pause in his message. Have a great month of May. Remember, May 21st is the Lord's return and my birthday. And if it all works out, we're out of here. God bless you.
I remember years ago, I had these, the I Love You track. We had them for a long time now. And we had them out there at the house. And they said, give me 1,000 tracks. And so I thought, wow, this person's going to be great. 1,000 tracks. Here's a whole bag of seed for you. Give me 500. I don't want to waste them. Okay, here's 500. That's honest, isn't it? Huh? Here's 5. Give me 25, because I think that's all I'll be able to pass out. You know what I found out? The guy that got 1,000 passed out one. He had a closet full of them. He had shoes on top of them, old dirty trousers on top of them, and they were just laying there all wrinkled up. A seed bag in the closet. The guy that had 500 was the same way, and the guy that got 25, I had him down on the floor of his car down there, stepping all over him with these McDonald's Pepsi things and malts and junk and a whole garbage can full of these containers they put these wimpy whoppers in. Are you hearing it? Yeah. Yeah, God sees all that. Give me 1,000, I'll pass them out. Remember one time years ago we went and we took out a box of tracks, and it was thousands of them. We went into a town, pretty good sized town. And there was a troop of us, and we put them on every car and every door in the whole city. When these people woke up in the morning, the whole city was covered. Did you get one of these? I'm just guessing what they said. Yeah, there was one on my car. And there was one on the front door. And there was one on the back door. And there was one in the dog's mouth this morning when I came to the door. Man, they're all over the place. In the office, in the post office, in the meat shop, the mechanic shop, the garages, the office buildings, the schools. What happened? We were invaded. Don't they have all them weird kind of shows? The invasion from this planet and that planet. Well, they were invaded from the kingdom of God. You hearing this? You know what's fun? To go through that town in the morning and watch all them people coming out, yawning, and then picking this track up. Huh? Getting in their car and turning their wiper on, and the thing is going, huh? Well, I'm afraid I address some who have buried their talent in a napkin in the ground. You better dig it up before the Lord asks you to, and you have to hand it over, a rusty old talent. It will be a witness, the Bible says, against you. It will draw no interest, it says, in the ground, not one speck. I think you ought to invest it very, very quickly. You know, the audit is nearer than you think. You know what? Your life is a nose full. You got one nose full of air? Well, that's your life right now, one nose full at a time. Well, think about that. One knows, well, no, don't panic over it. Don't hyperventilate, but yeah, you're only one heartbeat away from dying or living. But you only have one, your life is in your nose. Well, you say, you got a whole lot of life in you. Well, not a whole lot more, maybe a couple more minutes. But I think we better dig it up before the Lord asks us, what'd you do with your talent? Well, what's that I hear you saying on the radio? I don't owe God anything. Oh, I believe there is so much unused energy in the Church of God. Unused energy. Oh, that we would do our part like David did, faithfully. Because we shall soon be gone. Our day doesn't last long. The night cometh when no man can work. Did you know that? Oh, let's just give up arguing, being hurt or abused, looking for love, and not realizing it's in the giving. Isn't there a song? Where is the love? Where is the love? Huh? Well, hey, you got it. Give it away. How do you expect to get anything back? Huh? Well, it's the truth, isn't it? It's in the giving. And if they don't give you any love back, you still give it. And don't stand around looking at the plow blisters on your hands of persecution and trial. You know why? Or you'll sit down and you'll lay down the plow. Well, look at this, God. I'm working my fingers to the bone. Who else is doing anything? Well, you think you're miserable with these blisters? They got them on the seat of their pants. Are you hearing this? And you that have a lot of money that are sitting out there, you're sitting on it. While the world's majority stares out with those haunting, sunken eyes of starvation, pleading for food. Your life could end tonight. Are you born again and called to work? And are you running away? Who bewitched you and who flattered you onto that boat called escape from God? And what's that? I hear you out there and you're doing nothing? Oh, how you're going to regret this later on for doing nothing. When your conscience is thoroughly aroused, when you look out the window with tired TV eyes at the plowers and the plowing on while the harvest grows whiter. When the reapers come and the day is done and all is silent, and you look out and you, well, I'll go, there's still, I can still hear them humming, there's still time, and all of a sudden all the plowing is done. And you look out the window with them great big old red bloodshot TV, scandalous loving TV serial eyes, and look out there. And it's all quiet. And all you can see is people lifting up the first fruits unto the Lord. And you weren't part of it. Oh, you mean to, and you're going to, but you can still hear them out there. I wonder how far I can go. See, a lot of people think, well, you know, the reward is the same if you come in at 5 o'clock in the evening, just before the sun comes down. Everybody gets penny. And they hold off, and some hold off until all the workers are in the field, and it's 5:10. Isn't that a terrible feeling when you could have been part of something, and everybody is rejoicing and having a good time, and the work is all done and everything is shined up and cleaned up, and then you come in there, and oh, it's all done. Everybody's got something to talk about, and you have nothing to talk about except that you was laying in bed. Boy, did I get a good night's sleep. Well, hooray for you. Hooray. Did you have a vision while you were sleeping or some kind of a dream? Should have been a nightmare. Oh, Are you hearing this? Oh, when it grows silent and the work is over and you haven't been part of it. Oh, what a terrible sound that is, silence. God will say, it says in the Bible, step forward for the audit. Let's add your life up. Will he say, well done, good and faithful servant? Also, I want you to notice that David had done his part in trouble. Listen to this. He says, now behold in my trouble. Sometimes people have trouble and they just sit down. Well, I got trouble. Trouble right down here in River City. I'm just going to sit here. I got trouble. Isn't there a song like that? I got trouble. I got trouble. Huh? Who could ask for anything more? Huh? Who could ask for anything more? I got trouble. I got trouble. Dot, dot, dot. And that's all they do is talk about their trouble. And they sit in their trouble. But David in his trouble. Wow. Now behold, in my trouble, I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold. In my trouble, in the original, means in my poverty. Isn't that strange? He should talk about poverty when his gifts amounted to so many, many multitude millions. But David, praise the Lord, didn't think a whole lot of what he had prepared. He wasn't thinking about that. He calls it poverty. And why does he do that? Because it is the way of the saints to count anything they do for God to be very little. They never do enough. They always want to do more. And they're always thinking, oh, they got tears in their eyes. Oh, if I could have only done that one more thing. You that do a little for the Lord will be like a hen with one chick. You will think a whole great deal of that one little chick. I thought to myself, what a shame when so many Christians worldwide have gone into early retirement saying, I've done my part. I've hatched an egg. Now I must follow this little chicken around this chicken house, my little work around this chicken house. And yet it was David's proof of his sincerity that he should be saving all of this wealth and preparing for the house of his God in the time of trouble was proof of his sincerity. Can you, in your time of trouble, prepare a beautiful work for the Lord? Or are you just going to sit in your trouble? Well, I would, but my spirit is so down as of late. You want to get it up? You got to get your flesh up. Get it up. Get it moving. Don't leave it sit there and sweat. Ooh, stop fanning it all the time. Did you ever notice today? I noticed today so many people. Ooh, man, is it hot. That's all they talked about was how hot it was. It was their excuse to not do anything. Oh, man, isn't it hot? And you say, yeah, it is hot. You know how hot it is? Yeah, how hot is it? 92, how hot was it? Anybody know how hot it was? 97. I guess I talked to the wrong person. 97. Oh, okay. You see, yeah, in the shade. Okay. Well, you were sitting in the shade, and you had a thermometer or what? No. He says, don't give him anything. But how hot is it? Ooh, it's too hot to work. And the same people last winter were saying, boy, it's too cold to work today. Well, why weren't you at work yet? It rained. Well, why aren't you at work today? Well, it snowed. Now, perfect day comes along, and you ask them, why weren't you at work? It was too nice to work. Woo, come on. Oh, my God. What happened? what a shame. So many of them go into early retirement. Oh, I think a lot of Christians got to have sunny days all the time. Days full of flowers and bubbling brooks and birds singing, tip willow, tip willow, tip willow. No rebukes, no challenges. Always criticizing someone's unlove to them. And you know that unlove was sent to them to check out their love. It's easy to love somebody that loves you. Can you love somebody that hates your guts? But I see a lot of people nowadays that are like spoiled children. When something offends them, they say, okay for you, I won't play with you no more. No way. I'm gone. I'm never coming back. Never, ever, ever. You said the wrong thing that time, fella. Well, that's because you was waiting for the wrong thing to come. And if you come around me, it'll always be the wrong thing. But these people, they run away and hide under the porch with old Shep. That the first rough word they hear. You know, I think many times a dog is man's best friend because he will only cry and howl. He'll cry and howl right along with these criers and howlers. And that's why he's his best friend. Doesn't ask no questions. Just howls right along with his master. Do you ever notice your dog? You're crying in the great big sad eyes. His tail just gets real slow. And he'll just wander over and slide his nose up in there, and his eyes are all sad and watery. Huh? But when you're happy, the old dog is frisking around. Ew, wow, wow, woo-hoo, ha, ha. See, that dog takes on your spirit. You can always tell someone that doesn't want you on their grass or touching any of their property. The dog has the same spirit. He'll run right up to the boulevard like, rah! He stops right there. It's okay for you to walk on a boulevard, but don't go past that boulevard. And the guy comes out of the house, he looks exactly like his dog. Or the dog looks exactly like him. I don't know which one's worse. Are you hearing this? You ever been to a house where the pets have taken on the spirit of the people? And the people are all depressed and they got two birds in a cage and they're in their... Huh? Yeah, they take on your spirit. Huh? All bent old feathers, all bent out. Huh? You're all bent out of shape, and your bird is all bent out of shape. It's the same with your kids, you know. They pick up the same thing you have. I had an aunt. She was just deathly afraid of all kinds of bacteria. Bacteria. Wash your hands. I read in a book where bacteria are all over. You have to wash your hands. You have to be careful. You have to wash your hands. Oh, never touch a toilet door. And she'd get some cloth out of the, and then she'd open the door like this or wait for somebody to come in and slide out. Huh? You know how hard it is to go on a trip like that when you have to gift wrap every toilet bowl you go through all the way from here to Seattle? How many hearing this? So afraid of germs and so afraid of, and her kids were the same way. Huh? They wouldn't do this because they might wouldn't go in a public swimming place. Might get athlete's foot. Huh? Couldn't do anything. They were deathly afraid. Same in somebody. They took on the same spirit. Well, how many are hearing this message tonight? Are you hearing any of it at all? I hope you are. But anyway, David in the day of trouble, when his heart was ready to break. Has your heart ever been that way? Though your heart is breaking, isn't there a song like that? Sing, though your heart is breaking. Huh? Still he went on with the great work of providing for the house of God. He went on. So you that are listening, that are poor, you who are in trouble now, is the time to come when you're dry. Come, it says in the Bible, come drink of the water. Come to the fountain. But David said that he prepared for the house of God in the time of his trouble. And didn't that prove his sincerity? When you go on, when you're in trouble? Huh? Oh, I hear someone saying, never since I became a Christian, oh, everything is going wrong. Well, did you think that your walk was sort of like golf? That you'd walk through the golf course in your Nike tennis shoes and you'd yell, "Four!" and everybody get out of your way? Or better yet, that you'd have a golf cart and you just wind right down the road? No, in this walk that we're in, we don't have any kind of personal caddies to carry all of our bags and all of our burdens for us. But anyway, David prepared for the house of the Lord in his trouble. And I believe this was helpful in giving him peace to his sorrow. To have something to do for Jesus and to continue on with it is the best way to get over bereavement. Yesterday I went out and I did a funeral. The baby was 2 months old. And there was a mother there and the father there. I mean the grandmother and the grandfather and then the mother. And the brother and the sister and so on and so on and so on like that. And none of them were talking to one another. Oh, what a time we had. And there was a little boy there, and he could not stop weeping. And so that we had ministry to those people. Now I said, if you feel the spirit of joy coming, even now, first the suffering, then the joy, first the sorrow, then the rejoicing. If you feel it coming, don't disobey God, but let it bubble up. Let it come. After that I had given all of this, and had personally ministered to this little boy. I went right over to his seat and got on my hands and knees and was able to minister to him, to his mother, and to all these people. Something started happening. I said, you got to get busy and you got to get starting to do things for God. Now, I said, there's people in here don't know Jesus as their personal Savior. That's why I'm here. Woe be it to me if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, you are a captive audience and I will preach the gospel to you. And I did preach the gospel. And the gospel message is so powerful, powerful than any two-edged sword. And you know what? Everybody in that funeral home got saved. And after the message, they came up and they said, you know something? Now, it was no light fantastic, but they came up and it was no prosperity thing where people get their flesh all excited, you know, and it starts to crawl. See, they think they get a witness. No, it's their flesh crawling towards their billfold. But anyway, the Spirit of the Lord was there, and each person had a personal little testimony about something happened. The woman said, you know, I felt him enter into me. And I told her, I says, now don't get on a guilt trip because this little one had crib death. I could have done this, I should have done this, I should have checked, I should have done this, I should have, So many times we get into that kind of thing. She got total peace, and then we were going out, and you could see people wanted to talk to each other. The father that hadn't talked to the daughter, and the mother that hadn't talked to the daughter, and the sister that hadn't talked to the sister, and the brother, and so on like this, and all these people that were brought together by God. And I was sent to preach the gospel. And so we went from there, and we were going out to the burial grounds. Got out there, and there was a machine parked across the road. And so the funeral man, he gets out and he walks around this, and he didn't say anything. He was gone for about 2 minutes, and I got out and I walked around this great big earth mover, and I got around the side, and there was a great big hole there. Down below that hole, there was some cement, and down below that cement was some water, and that was where they had a sort of a man-made bridge that went underneath there. And so you couldn't drive on that, and so about a block and a half up, or almost two blocks, was where the baby was going to be buried. So I went back and I said, everybody take your cars and park them over to the side. We'll carry the baby past that hole and into the burial grounds. And the father says, huh, well, if God foreknew everything, why didn't he know this was going to happen? Oh, I said, he did. He did know this was going to happen. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. Now we're going to walk together. And when we walk together, we're going to talk together. Now, I didn't know any of these people were not talking to one another till afterwards. But that was a message to his heart. And they started walking, and they started talking, and they started hugging, and they started squeezing. They started putting arms around each other. And so this little baby Jesse had a purpose. He brought all them sore heads together. And all them sore heads receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. I said, well, what happens to little baby Jesse? I said, little baby Jesse gets the mind of Christ. Little baby Jesse is going to get a brand new body someday. Little baby Jesse is going to be, and you're going to know him when you get, will he be a baby? Will he be a baby? No, he won't be a baby, but you'll know him. You'll be one in the spirit. You'll know him. Man, everybody in that place, I mean, they were there. They were had the little baby dumped, you know, laid on the ground there. Everybody was rejoicing and laughing, and I thought, surely the Lord is in this place. You don't tell people they won't have no sorrow, because that would be a lie. Sure, you're going to have sorrow. Sure, you're going to have trouble. But in your trouble, you start to build for the Lord. And that's what brings you your peace, isn't it? But doesn't it help us? I mean, when we're having mental depression, you must pursue a cause and a course, and then you won't feel like you're living for nothing. You got to have a cause and a course. You ever seen somebody that don't know where they're going? Huh? Why was I born? Why am I living? Well, you were born to glorify God. And you're living so you could accept God. And I told this woman, I says, now that the baby was, it still is. Think about that one. But in trouble, say, I must go on with this work of the Lord, and so on, gathering materials for that spiritual temple, for that master builder God, and then you're going to be happy. Whenever trouble comes, go on with your work with fresh, double earnestness. Otherwise, you'll end up depressed. Well, today I feel double depressed. Well, get double earnest then. Did you have to fight a harder battle some days than you do others? But also, it gave an elevation to David's life, and I'm closing it up. A higher, a more noble purpose will keep us from being driven like dumb cattle, the Bible says, always eating and stepping in our own self-made, let's call it, manure. Have you been stepping in your own self-made manure this week? Well, Paul says, I count all that I know as dung. Maybe that's what's tripping you up. Maybe that's why you're depressed. Because of all you know. Well, the Bible says, forgetting those things that are past and pressing forward towards the high mark to calling in Christ. Why are you remembering them? So you can be guilty? So you can have a manure pile to step in? Huh? You know what I mean? A manure pile? Oh, and then you're going along fine. Then you remember something you did. Ooh. Huh? Are you hearing this? Do you like to live in your self-made manure. Count it all dung, that which you knew. Remember no man after the flesh. So that includes you. And so let's all have a higher purpose and pursue it, let's say, earnestly. Do you want to be like your master? He didn't claim an easy road. He claimed, and I know this is not popular preaching, he claimed God's will. Well, if he knew God's will, why did he claim it? And people say, well, I know the will of God. The will of God is to do this and this and this and this and this and this and this. Do you? And they end up talking to themselves. What's that, Lord? Mm-hmm. Oh, is that right? Okay, two lumps or one lump, huh? And they just sort of live a sort of a frivolous spiritual life. How many are hearing this? No, he claimed God's will because he didn't know exactly what it would be right then and there. When you claim God's will, well, if it's possible, take this cup. But your will be done. If it can't be, well then, okay, your will be done, not mine. So many people right now, I know the will of God. The will of God is to do this and this and this and this, and I'm going to walk boldly into the throne room of God, and I'm going to claim it. I say, listen, Father, you said so. Come on now, huh? Did you ever think about extenuating circumstances? Did you ever think about that you might have to go through some changes before that promise can come into your life, and maybe that promise isn't for you? All the promises are for me, all 7,000 of them. No, not always. You can't always treat your children all the same way, can you? Are all your children the same? No. How many kids do you have? How many kids do you have? Two kids. Are they both exactly the same? They're the exact opposite. You cannot treat them the same, can you? Well, you can tell one thing and one another. And it's the same way with all of us. We're individuals. Oh, there's 7,000 some promises, and they're all for me, the child of God. God will give them to you when you're good and ready for them. Maybe you'll never be ready for some of the promises in there. And yet, we hear preaching, God says so, and it's so, and I stand on it. It isn't going to do anything. That's like you telling one of your little children. And the little say, okay, you gave him. You got two boys or two girls? Well, you let her have her way. How about me? Oh, yeah, but she cleaned her room. She did this, she did that, and so on like that. You do the same, you'll get the same reward. Yeah, sure. Oh, I hate you. No, they don't always say that to your face. You lock the bathroom door and say it. Do you throw them out because they have them thoughts? You say, you were never born. No, they're still there and they're still going to give you trouble. It's the same way with God's people. He doesn't throw them out because they mess up. But he has ways of straightening them out, just the way you have ways of straightening your kids out. Right? I didn't say you beat him to death, but you can give him a spanking. Contrary to popular belief, that it will make their personalities, they'll be warped and they'll walk around like psychos because they got a paddling. Now, the building of his church cost. He was resolved to do the work. Riches of glory and wonders of glory he gathered together by his suffering and his death. And if you would be like your Lord, you must be able to say with David, behold, in my trouble, I have prepared for the house of the Lord. Listen, if you're troubled tonight, and you're listening on the radio this afternoon, if you're troubled, start to fellowship with Jesus. The way to fellowship with Jesus, the door of, oh, don't you dare say that, suffering. Do you want a fellowship with Jesus? Then you got to enter the door of suffering. Well, I don't know if I want to enter that door. Did you know that's the way you know the Lord? To share in His suffering? Well, I mean, why suffer with yourself? Why not suffer with Jesus? But first the suffering and then the joy. How about that? Behold, in my trouble I prepared for the house of the Lord. You know what it leads to? The suffering door? It leads to the room of joy. It's a larger room. You want to get to joy? Suffer through. But lastly, David's work fits the work of another. And let this encourage all you that are listening out there. You who see nothing coming of your work is going to fit onto someone else's work. No man could do the whole work. I remember being in Wisconsin for 4.5 years. Did anything happen there? Yeah, 7 works started out of my work that God had sent me to do there. Thousands upon thousands of people come to know Jesus Christ. Well, how about Corcoran? And how about that going west out that way? Did anything happen of it? Well, I'm hardly remembered out there, but it started to work, didn't it? Is that work going on? Yeah, someone else is doing it. And look at the African tape ministry. And look at the tapes that's gone out by the literally thousands in the U.S. Are they building on them? Look at the work that was started out in Brooklyn Park 14 years ago. How many churches, Spirit-filled churches, are out there right now that were started off of that ministry out there on Noble? Come on. Look at the north side. Where will this work end up? Well, I'll tell you something, friend. God's going to get all the glory. That will be its end, and that will be its beginning. And you know what? We won't have time to get all depressed. In the time of trouble, we will double our workload. Lord, we'll double it. Oh, man, I don't know. I don't feel like going to work today. I am so down. I am so blue. I am so beside myself. Oh, God, I just can't do it. I can't go another step. I don't want to go. I don't want to go to school like your kid says you're going. Does your little daughter ever say that? I don't want to. Huh? Does she ever days when she doesn't want to go to school? Do your kids have days when they don't want to go to school? Yep. Do they go to school? I remember I used to tell my mother, I don't think I'll go to school. You don't think? That's right. You aren't thinking when you tell me something like that. Get yourself up out of that bed and get going. I don't want you thinking at all. Just get up out of that bed. I didn't ask you to think. Now move. Did you ever have 210 pounds sit on you? You're going to move. And they sit on you, all the air leaves your body. Veins pop out in your neck and your eyeballs hang out. You say with a voice something like this, I only weighed about 72 pounds. I'm going. I'm gone. But just look at this north side work. You know what you got to tell the devil when you get into situations? Trouble is our incentive to service. When you give me trouble, I remember this scripture. Behold, in my trouble, I have prepared for the house of the Lord. So devil, if you're giving me double trouble, you're in trouble. Because that is my incentive to service. My only way out is to work it out, and here I go. Whoa, ow. But I heard someone on the radio say, but this is a terrible blow itself. It may even die. Praise God. Now I hear someone else say, well, I like to finish what I start. Why should someone else get all the credit? Let me assure you all. God is the one who keeps score. Let God decide. Or do you want your reward right now? Then you'll not have any in heaven. Huh? How many here it is? You can't do it all anyway. There's no way we can do this work down here all by ourselves. No, there's no way. It's going to take creative unity. And right now, God is bringing unity into this body. Now, I had a factory with 1,500 workers, and I won't mention his name, come in and said, now, if we go on strike, will you be able to help us? I said, God willing, we'll be able to help you, but I says, I think we better pray that you don't go on strike. He says, that's my exact thoughts. But if we were to go on strike, would you help us? I said, I certainly would. Doesn't that create unity? Now, you're way out there in what? Elk River. You're way out there in Elk River. Are there any elk out there? Why do they call it Elk River? There's some cows out there and stuff, huh? Well, anyway, you're way out there in Elk River. I was going to ask you to bring, you know, shoot a few and bring them down here to the mission. But, none there at all? Have you really looked? Pardon? Oh, I see. It just runs right through there with some elk swimming in it or something. But aren't we having unity? And there's better things coming. You're going to be able to share in it, just like I said. Why? Because there's unity in the body of Christ. See, suffering brings you into unity. Don't families get cold? I remember during the Depression. Well, I was born in 1932. Okay? So, but I remember my dad had no cafes at that time. He had lost them both. And I can remember back into 37, 38, like that. And we lived in a little apartment. When you folded down the Murphy bed that came out of the wall, everybody went to bed because it filled up the whole apartment. One bathtub, one toilet, five people. I mean, it was a little place, but we had unity. We would sing religious songs that my grandma, my mother wasn't into, but she remembered the songs from church. And we had all these songs we'd sing. And people thought, well, they must have the radio going in there, but we could harmonize that well, my sister and myself and brother. We'd be in there, and my mother, we'd be in there singing. They'd think, isn't that beautiful? I wonder what station that's on. And they'd try to find it all over on their dials. And they'd ask, what kind of radio do you have that you can pick up that beautiful music? We've been trying, we always try to get it, and we can never get it. Said, oh, you must be talking about us singing. We sing because they mentioned some of the songs there. But we had unity through suffering. See, if we had all kinds of money, I'll see you later, I got to go here, I got to go there, and I got to go here. And now you can't go no place because you don't have no gas. Or the rent's too high. Or the taxes are too high. Or something. And it brings you close. And now food is bringing people closer together. It's causing unity. Breaking bread. Serving one another is becoming the cause and the call. Listen to what David said to Solomon here, and this is it. Thou mayest add thereto. Are you adding to the collection plate? Are you adding to the church? Are you adding to the salvation of souls? Let's all be found adding to. Adding to God's glory, adding to God's glory by our conversion. By our actions, by continuing on in the Lord's work, by being that example of standing in your time of trouble. Maybe you're unsaved and you're listening to this program today. Why don't you say this today? Why don't you say, Lord, put my name down among God's people. I want to be on Christ's side and help build the temple. Now I know a few rough stones out there, some of my friends that are going to come right along with me. Listen, people out there, the work isn't all done yet. You're not too late to fight the Lord's battles or to win a crown. Won't you be added to that great number? Isn't there a song like that? Oh, how I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Can you imagine millions upon millions of people singing that song up there with brand new voice boxes? I mean, if they're going to have brand new bodies, they're going to have nice voices. That'll be a must if you're going to praise God. You can't have a little old scratchy voice. Oh, when is it? Oh, no, no. Or you're going to have great voices.
That was episode 193, the conclusion. Unless the Lord builds, we labor in vain. Have a beautiful Mother's Day, and be sure to join us next Friday for Rejoicing and Mourning, Our Privilege. Have a great week. God bless you.
Get ready, you got to move.